Well, here we are. We're sitting in the MTP Software Studios. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and that means this is Radio Entrepreneurs, always sharing the success of entrepreneurship. Glad you're back. Glad it's 2020. Can't believe we got here. 6,000 guests, over a million people connected to the show. And you know what? We found another entrepreneur. You know, it wasn't easy, but he's here. Tom Koulopoulos. Chairman of the Delphi Group, correct?
That is right.
Wow.
Well done pronouncing that as well.
Well, you know, I do. When given the chance, I love to try to pronounce Greek names.
Well, you did a good job.
They're great. I almost every other nationality, they'll tell you I screw up. But Greek names and Jewish names, I get great.
Well done.
So, what is the Delphi Group?
We just celebrated our 30th year in 2019. We're a think tank, Boston-based. I started the company in 89 with a good friend, Carl Frappalo, who's since passed away. And the objective was to help large organizations figure out where to spend their technology money. And this is well before the internet, well before .com. And, you know, we were futurists. We looked into the future and said, hey, here's the trajectory of technology. Here's how you can leverage it. And worked with large companies to help them spend their technology dollars.
You know, I've always gotten a kick out of futurists, and I used to speak frequently with, I don't know if you know, Stan Davis over
sure,
at...
Sure, of course, absolutely, at, you Stan, yes.
Yeah, Stan was over at Harvard, and I always found Stan interesting because he had my father's name.
Yeah.
And
well, Stan was big on 2020. That was his whole thing. And here we are. This is it. You know,
right.
This is the future. We're living it.
Well, he's still alive, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But tell me, give me your sort of career history that sort of leads you to becoming a futurist. Now, a lot of people, you know, hire me to do strategic work as
sure.
part of my whole package.
Right.
And a lot of people don't think beyond the day-to-day.
Agreed. And look, you know, you've seen this because I'm sure you do a lot of this in your work as well. The future is so volatile. Things are changing so quickly.
Dynamic.
Oh, so I was in Amsterdam a few months ago, and
right.
I was at the gift shop at the airport buying a few trinkets to bring back home, all the useless stuff that never sees the light of day when you come home, but you feel obligated to buy something for your kids. and the fellow at the gift shop wanted to strike up a conversation with me. He said, so what do you do? I hate that question when someone asks you out of the blue. I said, you know, I'm a futurist. He goes, oh, you're a futurist. So what do you write? I said, yeah, I write books. He said, are they fiction?
What year are you from?
He said, are you fiction or nonfiction? And I said, well, it's nonfiction, of course. He said, well, wait a minute. It's the future. He says, well, it has to be fiction. I said, you know, you're right. We're writing about stuff that hasn't happened yet. But increasingly, the pace of change is just getting so, you know,
but
dramatic.
But if you read the indicators, there is a certain degree of reliable predictability you
absolutely,
can make.
Absolutely.
Right.
So here's the thing. You know, what I tell people is that technology is relatively easy to predict. We know what will be here 5 or 10 years down the road. It's in the labs today. So
they
I
were predicting the internet. They knew.
Absolutely. What you can't predict is human behavior, how we're going to respond to it. So, you know, if I were to tell you back 20 years ago that you'd have a device on you 24/7 that would be tracking every movement you make, that would know more about you than your spouse does, you'd think I was patently crazy. But yet, that's the behavioral shift that we've seen. So being a futurist is partly about technology. You have to get that and understand that. But it's also about trying to understand human behavior and how we're changing as a species because of technology. That's the fun part. And that's the tough part, too.
Well, I think the issue is, I'm not sure I would 100% agree with you on some of the points, but it's a subtle difference, so it's not important. I think the issue really is, as technology changes, are you going to feel that life is imposing itself on you, or are you imposing your will on life?
Mm.
Are you in control? Because if you want happiness and personal freedom,
right.
even if life is changing, you have to find a way to master the change.
Absolutely. Well, you have to find some refuge. You know, you and I were talking before we began the show today about being able to flatline, finding a place in your life where you can just, you know, you can meditate, you can find some peace and calm. Increasingly, technology is making it difficult for us to do that. But look, it ups our game. You know, that's what technology always does to us as human beings. It ups our game. It makes what we do that much more valuable and that much more important. And I think we have to keep our eyes wide open and look at how we're integrating these technologies with our lives and where it's adding value and where it's not adding value.
Oh, very interesting. So, you know, you've been also associated with a lot of the schools in town. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
I've been through many schools also, but after they have me, they don't want me.
We're in the mecca of academia here, so you can't throw a stone. And I did, you know, two or three of these schools. I ran the Center for Business Innovation at Babson, which I started some time ago. And the idea behind that was to get all the big companies that were trying to innovate and find out if there were patterns that you could use to sort of become more innovative.
Right. Well, Babson's changed a lot too.
Babson's changed a lot, but you know, Babson, you know, in keeping with the theme of your show, it is all about entrepreneurism. When I was at Babson, when I would teach a class at Babson, I'd ask them, how many of you want to start your own business? 80% of the hands would go up. I mean, it was incredible.
Right.
At Bentley, I taught classes at Bentley at BU. I asked the same question. Maybe 20% of the hands go up.
That's correct. You know, almost all of my clients who went to Babson have a drive to lead,
yeah,
to innovate,
that's
to
right,
be in control, but then not every one of them can count.
Well, I don't
they don't have all that sort of hardcore Bentley.
No, they don't. They're
skills.
Not accountants. They're not accountants. But,
right,
but entrepreneurism isn't necessarily about smarts. I think at
right
the end of the day, it's about,
it's
you know,
risk,
how, it's
vision,
about risk and how willing you are to make sacrifices,
right,
in your life. That's what it comes down to, in my experience anyway, at the end of the day. Not the smartest people, but certainly the ones who need that success the most and are relentless in pursuing it.
Right. So, you know, some people think that we're entering maybe the most dramatic time for change ever, again.
Yeah. Well, I had relatives at the foot of the Parthenon that were thinking the same thing about 2,500
right
years ago.
Right.
So that's not...
It's the pace of change.
It's the pace of change. And,
right,
and the level to which we're connected and can communicate that pace of change, that's, to me, what's startling, right? So
right
I've got a community that's global right now. No one before me has ever had that capacity in terms of humanity's ability to connect. And that makes it much more pronounced. It amplifies the effect because we share that effect with each other across the world. It's a big deal.
So... You know, going 2020, you know, we're on the show. What are the top five things you think entrepreneurs need to be looking at in the future? Can you narrow it down?
So the top
Johnny Carson?
The top five haven't changed, right?
Right.
From an entrepreneur's perspective. But in terms of where the opportunity will be, look, there's a couple of areas that I think are going to just create enormous change, socially, economically, politically. And the first of those has to be AI. The degree to which machines are now going to be able to do things that we thought were uniquely human, judgment-based things, decisions that we thought were just human-based
at
decisions.
At a pace we could never work at.
Well beyond the pace that we can work at. So the question becomes, what do we do? Like, does that you know, obviate the need for entry-level positions? And my response to that is, look, it ups the human game. It causes us to find areas where we can add more value. I wouldn't want to be living 100 or 200 years, you know, in the past, because I would have been doing things that today I would consider to be drudgery, that were, you know, have no value in my life. So we up the human game. AI forces us to find other ways that we can add value. Entrepreneurs need to be thinking about AI because you have to incorporate that somehow into your business model. It'll be part of your organization, whatever industry you happen to be in. The second thing, and this takes folks by surprise that I focus on this, but mobility is huge. And we are, you know, we are that generation that will have the last opportunity to drive our own cars. And mobility changes so much of society. You know, if I look at my parents, you know, they got to an age, my father is an age right now where, you know, he can't drive anymore. He loses his freedom. So mobility will change radically a lot of business models that exist today, from healthcare to education. It's going to have enormous impact. And I caution entrepreneurs to look at that. The third thing, and it's the last one, but it's a big one, is blockchain. You know, how will the immutability of blockchain change your business model? What will that create in terms of new ways that you can do business? I think those are the three top things. There's lots of others, but those are the ones that I think.
The one I always think about is security.
Look,
and as I travel the world,
yeah,
and things are changing in different parts of the world, what they always talk to me about, my friends,
right,
is look what's happening here with security. That's coming to you.
Yeah, well, that's in there. That's in the top five for sure. But I think blockchain changes that a lot too. I mean,
right,
a lot of the risks that we encounter today is because we don't have immutability.
The whole concept of freedom is evolving.
Absolutely.
What I consider to be freedom, as I grew up in my mother's house and
yeah
father's house,
yeah,
doesn't exist today.
Right. Right. Well, we are all tracked like, you know, like endangered wildlife. That's part of the way we live today. But look, at the end of the day, all the concerns about privacy and what have you come down to, are we getting more value out of technology than we are suffering risk because of it? And,
right,
and I think the net benefit is always what drives technology at the end of the day. By the way, don't forget, of the 7.5 billion people on the planet today, about half of them have no identity. You know, to them, there is no issue of privacy or security because they have no identity.
It might even be bigger than half.
You know what? I'm being conservative when I say
half. I think you are.
I agree. So
my travels have told me that it's we're still very fortunate.
Yeah, there's about 2 billion of us that really make up the real economy of the world. And even within that, you know, I think that's a suspect number. But look, my point is that we've got a lot of work to do to use these technologies to elevate the human condition.
But can we do that?
Well, that's the trajectory that we're on. Will we? My kids will be able to tell you 50 years from now. I'm not sure we'll be here talking about it.
I doubt I will not be here. I'm clearly on the back nine. And Tom, if somebody's looking for you at the Delphi Group, how would they find you?
Well, DelphiGroup.com is the company's website, and my site is TKSpeaks.com.
You're going to come back again?
Absolutely, would
love
to.
You bring your crystal ball?
You got it, Jeff. I'll be here. Well, careful with crystal balls. Those who use crystal balls had better be prepared to eat glass, as the saying goes.
Is that a Greek expression?
It probably is. It probably is Aristotle or Socrates. It sounds better in the Greek, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We are going to take a break, and don't go away. We'll be right back.